Cache number 26979.
Albert Pullen, Reel 3. So, did you go to Hamburg? Did you actually see Hamburg?
Oh, yes. I remember the first time I went through Hamburg. I think a road had been bulldozed through the centre of it, and there was very little of Hamburg left, apart from the centre. The surroundings, the suburbs of Hamburg were in a terrible state. In fact,
were you shocked by that? Had you expected that?
I was shocked. I knew, well, Kiel was bad, of course, but Kiel wasn't as big as Hamburg. But to see all this devastation in Hamburg was absolutely fantastic. We'd heard about 1,000 bomber raids and all that, but to see what they'd done was quite fantastic. It was horrifying. The centre of Hamburg was still there. It hadn't been touched pretty well. But
how chaotic was it? I mean, this was fairly soon after the end of the war. Was there some sort of administration in place, or the army was doing it all?
I think the army did most of the administration for a while until the Germans sort of gradually took over. But the army took over, really.
Right. And where were you actually based? Is it just outside Hamburg?
We were usually in villages just outside Hamburg, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, could you just stop crackling the paper?
Oh, sorry.
Just hear it on the mic. That's all right, sorry. So, and what were your duties there?
Well, I was signals officer first of all, sort of providing communications within to the various companies, mainly by wireless or line, which was quite interesting. Then the signals officer returned, the one who'd been wounded, and he wanted his job back, obviously, so I just became just a company officer. And I more or less did anything that was required.
And what were the Cameronians doing? Were they offering sort of security or...?
They were just sort of an army of occupation. We were just sort of showing the flag, really, I expect.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the signals work, you were saying that was quite interesting because you were...
Yeah.
What were the problems there?
Well, sort of running out lines between various companies. And also providing a wireless network, of course. Providing a switchboard so that calls could be routed to the various companies. That was the main job of the signals officer.
Did you see any signs of looting or bad behaviour by the...
No, none whatsoever.
Really?
No. No, we had no problem at all with the civilian population. None at all. I was quite amazed, really, at whether they were just pleased that the war was over or they were pleased that the British were in occupation. I don't know, but we had no problems with them at all.
Did you have any encounters with any of the Russian forces? Did you actually meet them face to face at all?
Very little. We held a perimeter with the Russians. And but we had very little to do with them. They frightened us to death, I'm afraid. They were dug in with tanks and that sort of business. We realised that they'd steamroll us if they moved, but they were very friendly. Very friendly. We just kept out of their way as far as possible, really.
Were there any sort of hunts for Nazis or anything that you were aware of at the time, you know? You,
any
hunts for Nazis or criminals? Or...
Yes, we rounded up a few Nazis, a few sort of, well, I don't know what they'd call Nazis, but there were one or two. The German population were very quick to point out the Germans who they didn't like, but obviously. And what did they call them? The sort of secret police, I expect, really. We rounded up a few of those, and they were all put in prison. We had prisons, of course, which they went into.
And that was on information from informants?
Mainly information from the civilian population.
Yeah. When did you? I mean, I know nobody was really aware of the concentration camps until
they were liberated. We weren't
aware at all. Become aware of.
We weren't aware at all of the concentration camps. We were far enough away from them, I expect, really. But I don't think I was aware until much later on of the concentration camps.
So how long were you near Hamburg?
Well, for best part of 12 months, really, all the while that I was in Germany after the war, after the war ended.
Progressed during that 12 months, you know, because we, as you say, it was, you know, pretty well just a mess when we got.
Well, I think that progressed to the extent that the Germans were gradually taking over. When the war ended, of course, the army more or less ran everything, but the Germans were gradually taking over. And they got their mayors were coming back into place and that sort of thing. The mayor of the local community, of course, is quite a big man. They were gradually being put into place and setting up their local governments.
So did you have any idea when you would be demobbed? So that was the question on everybody's lips.
Well, it was all done very fairly on an age and service basis. It depended on your age and length of time you'd been in the army. And the early age and service groups went first. And I was in Agent Service Group 26. So I was comparatively early. It took nearly 12 months, but it went a bit faster from then on.
So was it quite a comfortable life in Germany for you?
Yes, we had a very comfortable life. Yeah, very comfortable. Yeah.
And were you counting the days to your demise?
It was a very easy life, really. And I was very lucky. I went on a short leave to Denmark.
Did you?
Went to Copenhagen for a few days. I went on a short leave to Paris.
Did you?
And I was in Paris for a few days.
Yeah. What was that like? Liberated for a while.
It was when we got to Paris, unfortunately things had got too far back to normal because there was a strike. There was a transport strike on when we got to Paris. No underground, no buses, anything. So we had to walk wherever we went. I could walk very well in those days, so it didn't make much difference.
Yeah. So when did you left Germany to go straight to Demob, did you?
Yes, I had to. I was in the 15th Scottish Division, mm-hmm. which was a territorial army division, and it was disbanded. About a month or two before I was demobbed, and the officers and NCOs and troops who were in the early age groups like mine, we were more or less sent back to the demob centres, and the others were found other jobs, obviously in units that were going to stay there, and I was sent to Belgium. And there was a unit in Belgium called T-Force. And it was set up to receive really scientists and people who the British government were rather keen to take under their wing. And the officers in T-Force sort of shepherding them back to the to the UK for interview and that sort of thing. But I didn't get involved in any of that. I expect my stay there was going to be so short that I didn't get one of those jobs. So I very soon, quickly after that, headed for Tournai in Belgium, where the demob centre was. So I went to Tournai, to the demob centre. It was it's very, very well organised, very well organised. But you weren't there long, of course, only there a day or two before you headed off for home. I, funnily enough, one of the first people I met there was a fellow I was at school with, in my class at school.
Yeah.
And he was a captain in the signal. He'd still stayed in the signals. He was a captain in the signals.
So, what did you imagine you would go off and do now? I mean, you've been away for a long time. You've got a wife.
Well, I knew I'd got a job to go back to, of course. I was rather fortunate. I was an established civil servant. And having got home, of course, I had quite a while and quite a bit of leave to come. And I'd got a wife. And we, on my last leave, I had a couple of leaves from Germany too. And my last one, I decided that we'd got to start and look for a house. And we actually did. We got a house while I was on leave. So it was all ready for us to go into when I got home. So
it was back to Birmingham?
In Birmingham, yeah.
And you went back to your job in the civil service?
Yes, and then, of course, I wrote to the post office telephones and said that I was back. And in due course, they sent for me and I got my job back again.
Right. How easy was it to settle down?
Not very easy, perhaps. Everybody was very kind, and we had a sort of quite a long settling in period where we went around the office and sort of sat and looked at various jobs, and they settled us in very well. I was very anxious, really, to just sort of take up the reins of my life again. So, and I was lucky that I'd got a house and a wife, so I should imagine that people who weren't in that position found it quite difficult.
And did you stay with the civil service?
Oh, yes. I stayed with the... in those days, of course, it was the post office telephones. And it was the telephone manager's office. And I was very fortunate because I was a clerical officer. But and during the war, there was virtually no promotion. But it was discovered by the union that two girls had actually been promoted to executive officer during the war. So they insisted that all the men who'd been away and who were senior to these girls should go before a promotion board, and those who passed would get backdated seniority. And I was lucky enough to pass. So I was promoted to executive officer, but I got my seniority backdated about 3 years.
So you got some money as well.
So I didn't get the money. We just got the backdated rank. But it did mean, of course, that within another 3 or 4 years, I was in line for the next step, which was a higher executive officer, which I passed. And I got a job in Birmingham. In Birmingham, of course, there was a lot of scope because there was a regional headquarters and there were two telephone manager's offices in Birmingham, Birmingham and West Midland.
So, and briefly then, did you stay with the post office then?
I did.
Your whole career?
Yeah. And then I got promoted again and came to Gloucester.
Right.
That's how I got to Gloucester.
Yes. So what, I know it's a difficult question, but what do you think you learnt personally from your army service?
Well, I expect it helped me in a lot in many ways. I went in at the age of 20 and came out at the age of 27. I'd obviously matured tremendously by then. And I realised, of course, that I was never going to have any worse problems, no matter what I did in civil life, than I had in the army. I don't expect it to be a matter of life and death anyway. And when you look commanding troops, it's a different matter. So I was... I think it held me in very good stead, because I didn't have any problem passing promotion boards, and I progressed, you know, quite rapidly.
And you'd mixed with an awful lot of people and fitted in with an awful lot of different units.
That's right.
Your time,
that's right. Yeah. Oh yes, it's bound to help a lot. It's the sort of education you'd never get normally, of course. Not the sort of education you'd want normally, I expect. But
yes, true. Anything I know you made some notes. Any other stories? No,
I think that's pretty well all. Pretty well the lot. Yeah.
It's been very interesting.
Good.
Thank you very much.